This morning's message, Abigail. Abigail, a woman of faith. She's a type of the church. She's a type of the church. Now be careful here. This is 1 Samuel, the 25th chapter, the 1st through the 44th verse. And I'm not going to read all that for the sake of expediency to get into my message. The message, the theme that we've been looking at is faith. So it's not anything new in the word of faith. People, a lot of people want to make you think that faith is something new with the word of faith churches. And like Brother Parker says, not a lot of old hands on deck like used to be. That it's always been faith. If we look at the book of Hebrews, all the way from chapter 11, all those are a hall of famers that are in the hall of faith in the Old Testament. So they had faith. It was faith. They were children of Abraham. So faith was back there, and we're looking at Abigail this morning. Now, like I say, I've extracted out of this chapter Abigail. A lot of sermons are hearing and going on. You can contrast her to her husband. You can contrast her to her husband because there's a world of difference between the two. Direct polar differences. Sometimes the husband and the wife are not the same. They're not going to the same place. The Bible tells us there'll be two in the bed, one taken and one left. Each man, as the old folks say, have to plow his own road. Paul said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Now, the opening verse we read, why did the pastor read that? It says, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. That's kind of the way I'm thinking this morning. Okay, let me tell you about my wife. She's in the hospital. She's not really sick now. She's getting treatment. Like I said, she's getting some antibiotics, so she'll be there another 4 or 5 weeks. But please, let's focus on the physical and not me being adulterous. Then I said that Abigail was a type of the church. And if we are type of the bride of Christ, we are looking to Jesus Christ, who's our husband, right? That's our husband. If we're the bride, so we are married right now. We get in the process of divorce because we're leaving the law. We're not going to be bound to the law anymore. So we will be the bride of Christ, and there will be a wedding day in which he'll come back and he'll receive us to himself. We'll be in the kingdom, and all the rewards of eternal life, all the vestiges of what he promised in his word, we'll have. Amen. Sometime in this life, you get hooked up with the wrong person. You can get, you know, and some. That's why I said, don't be unequally yoked. You trying to get something or get somewhere, and that joker, he's spending all the money gambling and off drinking and off or doing something. She's doing it. You know, husband and wife, that's why so much conflict in the world, because some people are God-minded or God-oriented. So that's what happened with Ananias and Sapphira. They were birds of a feather, though, because Peter gave her an opportunity. They conspired together to cheat God. He says, was this all the times where they were showing off? And he said, yeah, that was it. Peter said, well, why you lied to me? You didn't lie to me. You lied to the Holy Ghost. He dropped dead. He gives her a chance. She comes in not knowing what's happening. He gives her a chance to not be in cahoots with this guy. You know, sometimes a lot of these women out there working and got good jobs or whatever marry some old scoundrel that ain't no good just thinking about money or getting over.
Yeah.
He gave her a chance to walk her own road. But she said, yeah, that's what we sold it for. Well, she dropped dead too because she was in it with the husband. Neither one of them had faith. They were faithless. We're looking at a woman this morning that's very faithful. 1 Samuel 25th chapter starts with a death. The death of Samuel. Now Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together for his funeral, and they buried him at the house of Ramah. That's the end of an era. Samuel was a very great prophet. Now they're going to start having kings. But you remember David had been on the run during his life there. David had been running from King Saul. And we go way ahead here in the second verse. It says, then David moved down to the wilderness of Maon, and there was a wealthy man from Maon who owned property near the town of Carmel. He had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and it was sheep shearing time. In other words, harvest time, a time of pleasure, time of drinking and money coming in. It's harvest time, you know. It's a good time, in other words. That's the time that you would feed people and you would help people because the money is coming, you know. We got the market. We selling the hides. We selling the stuff, and we got plenty of money. So David's not going to come to him at a time that he broke. You know, you're not so good at loaning somebody money if it's time to pay the rent, time to pay the lights or whatever. But if you just not and got paid or got a wad of cash and somebody come to you, they know you got it or whatever, and David said, it didn't come to you at a bad time, it come to you at a good time. Well, see, let's not talk about David and Abel, those two scoundrels, right? Mm-hmm. And what? You putting David, lumping him in there with Nabal? Because David had went off the rails in this chapter. We'll connect that one of these days. See, that's why I say it's a lot of preaching. That's why I look to eternity to look at how God's looking at all these things, because there's more than one way to skin a cat. Now, there's one good way, must be, because it says different ways to skin a cat. Well, we're looking at Abigail this morning, not David and Nabal. It says this man's name was Nabal and his wife Abigail. Some versions makes it this way. Listen at the King James. Now the name of the man was Nabal and the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance. She got good sense and she don't look bad. She can cook. She's a good woman. But the man was churlish and evil in his doing, and he was of the house of Caleb. Who's Caleb? Remember, Caleb was one of the ones that went to the promised land with Joshua. He was one of the two spies, and God led them, made him like this man here. I don't know, he's not, may not be 85, but Caleb was 85 and just as strong as he was 40-some years ago when he went to the mountain. And see, he's strong and upright, and he's a good man, but see, sometimes the apple falls a long ways from the tree. So this guy was in the family, had money, but he wasn't no ways like his great-great-great-great-grandfather Caleb. That's what we was talking this morning. Sometimes the children are not like the parents. And you can't put the parents to death for the children and put the children to death for the parents. That's what Ezekiel said. You can't lump them all together. We can't stereotype people. Each man got to give account to God for himself. Now, you can teach your children, but you can't force them and make them. I got four grown sons, and, you know, a lot of times I want them to do, but I can't make them do anything. And they get up of age, and they're grown, and you got a family thing. Sometimes if you go at it the wrong way without the wisdom and knowledge of God and understanding that they are men, now y'all end up a fighting a shooting match, and you're provoking the anger. Sometimes you just have to let them alone. So this guy, he was way away from the herd. It says he was churlish and evil in his doings. Another one version, the Living Version, says she was a sensible and beautiful woman, but Nabal was crude and mean in all his dealings. You didn't see people just mean, just grouchy, just people mean. Well, he was mean like that. The Amplified says she was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings. So we got some people that deal fairly, and we're seeing that prevailing today, and some people that don't deal so wisely. So we see that he's a blinded man, and that's why I say I don't really want to deal with contrasting them. But see, sometimes you don't act the same as everybody in your household. You don't rub off on one another, so we can't stereotype that. It could be the difference of day and night in a household. She was a woman that built her house, and that's something for a woman to build her house. They say, old Jewish sayings and things, saying that she may have been the woman like that used as a symbol for Proverbs 31. The virtuous woman. She fits the bill there. She fits the bill. Bathsheba doesn't fit that bill for the virtuous woman, but this woman does. One that seeth after her servants and household and makes sure they eat. One, and it's nothing wrong with a woman being a businessman. We're using men, businessmen, as terminology, that businessman or woman, if you want me to break it down that way. So it's got many a women that should be running the family finances and running the thing because they got more sense than the guy.
Thank you.
So that wasn't the problem here. That wasn't the problem here. It says that she planted, Proverbs says she planted a field and considered buying it. So this woman was planting food, but she would get up early in the morning and make sure her family had it to eat. When women that's doing that, they're much stronger than the man in that sense, in that way. Listen at me closely. Listen closely here. But then that makes her have two jobs. See, the man may just have that one job. See, because once the woman abdicates her job in the house, she violates scripture because it does say she should be keepers of home and raise up her family. That is her job, raising the family. That is her job. Now, she's good and she's strong, and God has given her understanding and intelligence like this. She can hope, but the home is necessarily her place. Anything going on in the home, I acquiesce to my wife there. You remember I told you that sign is in there about the things that my wife and things do is tolerated by the male household of there?
Yes.
See, but if anything going on that I feel it's out of order or whatever, I do have a right to put my foot down because a woman can't, according to scripture, bind the household or bind the family to something so he can't come back. I don't like men that blame their wives and things. That's what God told Abraham. That's what he told Adam. You can't listen at your wife now. If you listen at your wife and she says something and you go along with it, that's your decision. And the Bible tells you that. If she, I'm right? If she make a vow and you hear it, you can say, well, no, we're not going to do that. But if you go along with it, it's just like your vow. You can't come back and blame her, Adam. You can't do that. That's not being a man. If you go along with it, it's your decision, and God's going to hold you accountable for it. So this woman was a strong woman. It says she was a woman honest. That meant she knew God. The first thing, those that fear the Lord has an understanding. God gives them understanding. So the man must didn't have, that's the beginning of understanding is the fear of God. So if she had understanding, that meant she had the fear of God. You can't have it. If you don't have the fear of God, you can't have understanding. So we see she has faith. When she sees she has faith, she must be walking with God. Because Enoch, way back in time of Adam, he walked with God. And the only way you walk with God, two can't walk together unless they agree. Psalms 111 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandment. His praises endure forever. Amen. A good understanding that do his commandment. The Amplified says, the reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. His praise endures forever. That's the faith foundation, that you believe and trust God. Amen. You a child, you Abraham, he's the father of faith. Now you children of Abraham, because you have the faith of Abraham. You believe God. That's what counts. You believe God.
Nice.
Look at her now. If you read that, now like, you know, it's a thing in Matthew about the five wise and the five foolish. Because they didn't have time. The bridegroom was coming, and the five wise had trimmed their lamps, but the five foolish hadn't trimmed their lamps. You want to pay attention here? So the thing is, each time that the preacher preached, he can't go back and read all of the scriptures and all that, because you're supposed to be studying the Word of God. You're supposed to read it. You should know of these stories.
Yeah. Some of you guys want to tune in to come in, and you got to fill in and stop with everybody else because it's redundancy then, because they know what I'm talking about. So people didn't read about Abigail and Nabal and all this story.
So the thing is here, when David had came to Nabal, sent 10 men to Nabal to ask him for some of his food because they were weary, but he came at a good time that he knew he had it. David had been protecting him in that area. Nabal refused him.
Yes.
So that's the highlight of what happened. I'm not going to elaborate on David's wrongness in doing that right now. I'm not going to elaborate on it. But David was wrong because it was based on a wrong assumption. That's what that was. But he heard what had happened. Remember I say the providence of God, he always has somebody hearing and witnessing what's going on. Nabal was harsh and rude to the servants of David and ran him off. Abigail wasn't there. She didn't hear it. So what happens is, verse 14 and 17, meanwhile, the servant realizes God's hand up on his, that she's a person of God. And you know, you could always talk to a person of God. You can't talk to people that's not of God. If you go to some people, you know, if the teacher teaching your children, you got some parent go there and want to whip the teacher and all that. Well, that's not a person of God, because a person of God recognizes authority, that it recognizes chains of commands. Some people you can't talk to. Nabal was one you couldn't talk to. His name means a fool. So the servant came and talked to the wife. It says, meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants went to Abigail and told her. It says, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, but he screamed insults at him. These men may have been very good to us, and we never suffered any harm from them. Nothing was stole from us the whole time they were with us. In fact, day and night, they were like a wall of protection to us and the sheep. You need to know this and figure out what to do. For there's going to be trouble for our master and his whole family. He's so ill-tempered that no one can even talk to him. So this is the servant talking about this woman's husband. You can talk to the woman's husband about her husband. So it must be a known fact among everybody that the husband couldn't talk to. He was rude. He was obstinate. He was stubborn. He was bullheaded. And go talk to the wife. That's God's providence leading and guiding and directing this servant. Because I know we're going to have trouble now, because David's got 600 men. He's been fighting. He's been protecting that area from the onslaught of the Philistines and everything. And I told you Abigail was a type of us. We see the things going on out in the world, but we see our family, we see our children saying and living and being around people that they shouldn't. And we know evil is determined against them. And we pray to God, intercede on their behalf. We're working and trying all we can. She's a type of the church. She's a protector, whereas she knows where her bread is buttered. She knows of God. She's a woman of faith. She needs to figure this out, the servant says. So apparently he was a man of faith also. He wouldn't have the insight. God wouldn't have gave him the understanding that, look, you about to be wiped out, buddy. See, it's people in the government now saying, we're protecting the government because it's about to be wiped out. Y'all got the wrong man in here. He's a bully. He's ignorant of certain things. He's this. Okay, so there are legal ways that we handle this. And as a church, we got to be just like Abigail. Well, God has set governments in power and all this. And so that's why I say we're under the laws.
Yes.
So what happens? We have to wait for God to make the move. Those that wait upon the Lord, God has to strengthen us. God has to free us from the bondage of this husband that we have, but that we walk in obedience. See, the woman should submit herself to the husband. See, she can't work or walk against the house or do wrong against the household. That would be insubordination to work against a husband. So we have to learn through God's wisdom how to do this. And the only thing that can happen is that God has to lead us and guide us in all truth. That's why it says we're teachable, we're malleable. Lord, how can we make it through here? the Word of God gives us hope. It gives us wisdom. Verse 19. And said to her servants, here she comes, she's figuring out what to do. So she says, look, y'all go ahead of me, and I will follow you shortly. But she didn't tell her husband, Nabal, what she was doing. She had to have discretion. She was hiding this, seems like, from the husband. Listen at me now. This is being led by the Spirit of God. She's not being insubordinate, because if she'd have told her husband, he'd have prevented or stopped her from doing that. So, see, your husband or your wife or your children can't stop you from accessing and doing what God has for you to do. That's why Peter says it's better to obey God than man. See, it's got scripture in there. I don't fool with a lot of men that talk too much. And the Bible tells you don't tell all to her that layeth in your bosom. It's got some men go back and tell their wife everything. They go back and tell other people all the time. That's what why Samson ended up blind and bald-headed, is because he went back and told his wife things he shouldn't have told. So, you know, women got enough sense not to tell you everything. You don't think your women, woman, wife and told you everything.
What do you say?
Don't you think yet?
That's secret.
If you think you that big a boss, go ahead and be that fool like Nabal.
Be the fool.
Be the fool. She showed great understanding here in being discreet about this. So, like, that's why the Bible was prominent. Notice that it listed her wisdom and understanding before her beauty. Because, see, a lot of people marry because of beauty and looks, and then they get way off, and then she's a kind of a dumbo. She could concentrate on her looks and everything. You can't even get breakfast out in the morning. You can't get her to do nothing. Now you bearing the whole load, and she don't have no godly wisdom and fear. Seek first ye the kingdom of God. So they listed her understanding first. That one was important. Now listen at the diplomatic intercession here. She have to watch how she approached David, because David's cocked and loaded for bear. You didn't deny this guy. He think, you know, I was telling you about Job last week, when somebody think they're right, whether they're right or not, if that's what the way they believe, they don't want to hear the rest of that. If your husband or your wife or something set on something, they don't care what you want or whatever, they will get this done. David was wrong here, but David was about to get it. And the servant realized this, and Abigail realized that they was in danger. That's what Bob Woodward was saying. The nation better wake up. You're in danger here. But people still sleep at the wheel, and God has told us what a time this is. His brother just came here this morning and warned us at the time we're living in that the families are not together, the people are not together, the churches are not together. It's not the same as it used to be. It's only a few. Doesn't the Bible tell us the love of many shall wax cold? Iniquity is abounding.
Amen.
It's a jungle out there. But listen at this diplomacy here, because you have to know how to use words and how to intercede. Verse 23 through 25. She's interceding for who? The fool, her husband, because that's her first love. That's who she's married to. So that's why I say she wasn't working deceitfully against him. Even though husbands work deceitfully against their wives, or wives work, she wasn't. She was a woman of God. Listen to her here. When Abigail saw David, she quickly got on off her donkeys and bowed herself low to the ground. She bowed herself to him. She fell at his feet and says, I accept all of the blame for this matter, my Lord. Please listen to what I have to say. I know Nabal is a wicked and ill-tempered man. I know my husband. Do you know the people you live with? Do you know your children? Do you know the people you work with? Don't fool yourself. Do you know your president? Do you know people? See, sometimes you think you know somebody. Well, she knew how her husband was. She says, please don't pay any attention to him. He is a fool, just as his name suggests. Nabal means fool. But I never even saw the young men you sent. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, she saw David coming toward her. David had just been saying, a lot of good it did to this fellow to help him. We protected his flocks in the wilderness, and nothing he has was lost or stolen. But he has repaid me evil for good. Listen to what the oath David swears. May God strike me and kill me, even if one man of his household is still living tomorrow. He was going to cut off, the King James says, he was going to cut off everything that pisseth against the wall. In other words, women and children, he wasn't going to leave hide nor hair. That's the kind of trouble he was in and didn't realize. See, the world is in trouble and the fools running around here that don't realize that this thing is falling down around you. You better get in contact with God. You better get in contact with God. Don't get upset about the hurricanes and the tsunamis and the weather and the fighting, because God says, see that you be not troubled. See that you be not moved. There should be wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, calamities. All this is supposed to happen, meaning the Bible is coming true. Don't you be upset, though. You stay clear-headed like Abigail. That's what the church is supposed to be. Be not moved. Listen at the understanding here. God gives his people wisdom and understanding. It's impossible for, it says it's not possible to deceive God's elect. The knowledge that of God's divine providence. This is Old Testament time, and she knows of the providence of God, that God puts people at places at times and his working and what's coming together, because by faith we see the invisible happen. See, that's what faith is. The evidence of things unseen, it's the substance of things hoped for. So she can see the providence of God. It says here, verse 26 and 29. Now, my Lord, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, since the Lord has kept you from murdering and taking vengeance into your own hands, let all your enemies and those who try to harm you be as cursed as Nabal is. Okay, now hold on now. She says, let them be as cursed as Nabal is. What is wrong with Nabal? You remember I told you that Nabal was a type of the world. Nabal is blind. He can't see. He got physical sight. He's a rich man. I told you how much wealth he had. And a family might have, you know, back then, they would marry the woman off to somebody that had a dowry or something, and the father would get a dowry, just like Laban did with Rachel, with Isaac. So her father apparently married her off to this horrible guy for the money, for what Nabal had. So she is in a bad situation, just like we were sold into sin by Adam. So we labored out here in vanity until God saves us, and through faith, by the grace of God, we are saved through faith. It's the same way she was saved. So, she says, Nabal, let your enemies be like Nabal. Nabal is cursed, she says. So, do she see the outcome of Nabal? Because God tells us, fret not thyself because of evildoers. What's going to happen to the wicked man? The soul that sinned shall die. She must. God's telling her, you might not have to put up with this very long. I don't know what God's telling her, but she prophesizing and she's speaking it. Look else what she tells David. She says, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thine soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of all thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of a sling. You mean to tell me that Nabal ain't realized this? Because when David came, Nabal say, who is this David? Who is David, this son of Jesse? That he's some renegade. It's verse 10. Who is this fellow David? Nabal sneered to the young men. Who does this son of Jesse think he is? There are lots of servants these days who run away from their master. Should I take my bread and my water and my meat that I've slaughtered for my shears and give it to a band of outlaws who come from who knows where? He is right physically, that is happening. But see, he can't see through a spiritual eye. He can't see that that's a type of Christ, that that's a son of God. Now, how can his wife see this and worship David and fall out of his feet? But Nabal, her husband, don't see it. And the husband's supposed to be the leader of the household. But she see who David is.
And she knows that Saul, she says, the man that's pursuing you, had been pursuing David some 15 years, but nothing, because what? Samuel, before he died, he had anointed David king. And Saul, David had been on his life. He was right there. That's how he was helping him, because he was on the run for his life. He was hiding in the hills and everything, and he was protecting them with a band of outlaws. So he was doing the job of a king, protecting his people, but some of the things are not lining up. I don't have time to chase that rabbit trail. So we're focusing on the faith of Abigail. So Abigail knew the way he was, of the fix he was in. See, that's the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Isn't that faith? Because it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. The children of God start feeling what other people are feeling and what they're going through. So you start caring for others more than yourself. She's caring about David's plight here, because David hadn't done anybody anything, and he's innocent. And she knows that David's going to kill all of his enemies, that he's going to slay all of his enemies. That's through the providence of God. That's through the faith in God. And God's people, he says, you could tell my disciples for their love for one another. Mm-hmm. See, that's how you can tell people of God. Of all the people at that church, him and Brother Miles was the only one that you were united. That's the only ones I united with at that church. Does that tell you something about some of the people or some of the things there? Yeah. That God's people go be drawn together, they can tell one another. I can't go nowhere and pass and not see this man. And, hey, Brother Parker, how it's going? Yeah. We have conversations everywhere. We hold up the road or whatever. Right. My wife or his wife said, well, don't let them get together and go to talking, because they'll never stop. It's like you've always been old friends. So the thing is, it says, she knew that. Listen at this. Listen at this. This is another nail in the coffin here. Now, he called him a renegade and a vagabond. Why should he give food? Listen at his wife now. This is a case where he should have been listening at his wife. It says, and it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all that God had spoken concerning me. According to who had spoken? God. So that was faith, because she believed the word of God, and that God could perform all that he said he was going to do. That he was going to establish David. God's going to establish house. How did she know that Nathan had told David God was going to make him a sure house? They didn't have a lot of Bibles floating around like we have nowadays. It was by word of mouth. You see, we're more fortunate than any of them. We could have Bibles in every house you go to, have Bibles and things. See, back then it was written on a scroll, and you had to be a rich person, a priest or something, to have one of those scrolls. You didn't have, Gutenberg hadn't invented the printing press. You didn't have a lot of scripture back then. All the Lord had done concern, and shall appointed thee rule over Israel. She know God's going to make him king of Israel. The ruler, this is faith here. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either thou that dost shed blood causeless. What? Listen at the understanding and the reason here. What she's saying, when you become king, you're not going to be climbing up on anybody else's back. That you're not going to be in shed blood causeless, or that my Lord had avenged himself. When the Lord shall have dealt well with the Lord my God, then remember thine handmaid. She's like the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me.
Yes.
Lord, remember me. When God brings you to the point he's bringing you. But look, she was an intercessor here. She was interceding. She stopped David from killing her husband. Here David is with an army of 600 men, and he's going to go against a rancher, a farmer. He's going to go against Nabal and kill his wife and everything he has. He says he's not going to have anything living. This is the man that's on the run from Saul that it hurt him to cut to him or Saul's garment. He wouldn't hurt the Lord's anointing. But here he would have killed Abigail, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He was, when she says causeless, in other words, he'd have been a murderer. He said when Saul was doing this, I shall not avenge myself, but God shall avenge me through Saul. One day he'll die in battle or something happen, but he wouldn't let his men kill Saul. But now he's trying to avenge himself on Nabal because Nabal didn't give him food. I'm thinking now up in North Carolina somewhere where people probably fighting over food and water. How many looters did they lock up for stealing already? Now here David presumed that the God didn't did him wrong. Well, actually he hadn't asked David to protect him. This is something David did. So we shouldn't assume by us doing a work of God or doing good that somebody owes us something. God is my paymaster. God is my paymaster. If you don't pay me in this life, it's like Brother Parker said, it ain't always about the money. At least I didn't grow weary of doing well. I was always doing. What do you say? Goes around trying to do good for people. He's just doing good for people here. It don't have to be people of renown, like he said. Just the people he run across makes it feel good to do good for people.
Yes.
That's the thing about it. Doing good. That's what Abigail was. She was doing good here. And she didn't stop David from being a murderer. Now as you done made it king, see, the means, the end doesn't justify the means. If he'd have did this, that'd have been a blight on him. That'd have been worse than him murdering Uriah for his wife. You remember that was a blight on him because God told him, said, David, because you have done this and caused my name to be shamed, the sword will never leave your house. We can bring things on ourselves by not walking by faith. Let me hurry up and try to get out of this thing here. I'm trying to, but like I say, I got a lot of little things to show you that we had faith back there. She was a woman, I tell you, that built her own house and not tear it down. There's a lot of women nowadays that tear their own house down. It's a lot of women nowadays that would have been like Sapphira. She'd have held on to her money. She wouldn't have told him to do right. She's doing right. You remember I said she did this in discretion so the husband wouldn't stop her from doing right. See, we should submit to one another, also the Bible says. So here the husband should have submitted to the wife, but she knew through wisdom of God that he wouldn't have done that. See, some men got that navel-like arrogant pride that they don't never listen at their wives. She's your helpmeet. That's why God put her there. Sometime you should slow down and listen at your wife.
Amen.
God give you an understanding. So, am I saying all the time is she right? No. Just like I'm saying all the time is David right? No. The only person that's right all the time is God. That's why y'all always should be praying and seeking what God says.
Yes.
Amen. Once you go putting faith and confidence and hope in a man, you can curse yourself through God because God says, woe be unto him that put his trust and hope and confidence in the arm of a man. Man will change on you before he walk out that door. Everybody come in this church, everybody, like he said, everybody coming in the church ain't saved. Everybody sitting there listening at the message. They'll sit there, amen, and do all this. He said, but like you said, when they get out there, it's a different thing, ain't it? It's a whole different story. Life makes it a whole story. So don't pay everybody in the church saved. See, Nabal was a descendant of Caleb, right? But that doesn't mean he was saved. So we've been talking about her faith. We've been talking about that this woman had understanding, and understanding showed her faith. Because as what we were talking about Wednesday night, faith has works. Faith has works. And that's how you can see people's faith is through their works. A faith that doesn't have any works is a dead faith. Verse 18 says, Abigail wasted no time. She quickly gathered together 200 loaves of bread. Because you remember I told you he had about 600 men. She gathered together 200 loaves of bread. Two wineskins full of wine. Boy, they was going to have a party, wasn't it? Two wine, five sheep that had been slaughtered. Did you hear that part? That was ready dressed. Now listen at y'all. Listen at that. Now don't get here in the microwave generation now. So this woman was doing this, but the sheep was dressed for ready to cook, and it wasn't like going to Abersons getting something ready to cook. In other words, you got to go out there and kill a sheep. You got to skin him. You got to gut him. You got to do all that. This is not the microwave generation now.
these things was ready and they was placed. So they were wealthy, so she had service. But see where faith has works?
Yeah.
See, some people are saying, oh, bless God, go in peace. I'll pray for you. But that ain't doing no good. What you can do? You know, a lot of people could talk is cheap. The heart, when it comes to making that sacrifice, when it comes to doing something, see, God says be doer of the word. So this was a sacrifice. This woman had to do some works. See, that's what her action was seen. She was working nearly a bushel of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins, 200 fig cakes. Isn't that a lot of food? Isn't that what did David ask for? Let's see. Let's go. Come back to me, with me here. And now I have heard, verse 7, that thou hast sheared thine sheep. This is what David sent the young men, which were with us. We hurt them not, neither was their heart missing unto them. All while that, and ask the young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. We come when you got plenty of stuff, and you have a lot of stuff to help us, and we are here fighting and doing good. Give us, I pray thee, in other words, please, he's petitioning nicely through his people, whatsoever coming unto thine hands, to thine servant, and to thine son David. So he's being manable and respectable. And when David's young men came and asked Naboth, at that time those words, Naboth refused. Now, David was just asking for a little bit, right? He was praying to God, but he did it the right way. So, what the Bible says? He says to thine son David, and he said son, right? Remember God says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, and that he shall do. Nabal wasn't his father, but he said, thine son David, and he said, I pray thee. In other words, he was pleading with him all the respect and giving him all the things and gratitude he can, but he refused and discharged. But woe be to my God. God is good. And you know, a stingy person give you something, they'll hand you a dollar or two and pull back one. Or they'll break it off and give you a piece. But David just asked for a little bit of food or whatever. But he got refused by the people of this world. But God is able to give you abundantly and exceedingly above that which you ask for. Abigail, the wife, came, gave him 200 fig cakes, raisins, wine, and all this stuff. More than he asked for. God is able to do it. And he'll do it out of your enemy. See, the enemy don't know he's laying up good for the keepers of God's world. For the children of God, that's where you're laying all that stuff you storing up and cheating people out of their pay and doing all this conniving and stuff. You laying it up for the righteous. So she came in and did that for David. You know, faith has works, I tell you. See, he didn't say that Abraham was the father of the faithful until Abraham drawed back the knife to kill Isaac. He had to bring him to a sacrifice. See, Noah had to preach 120 years on that ark. He had to start building the ark and working. You know, we can't just sit home and think that them little checks or that little money we was talking about comes. We have to get out there and go to this place and go to that place and cut here and load the mold. The other day I was cutting a place and it started raining or whatever, and I said, I done got wet already. You know, you're out there, you hate to get wet or whatever. So I was cutting in the rain or whatever, because with hope in God, and God is seeing you, God gives you help. And there's these little spring showers. I got a little wet, but it stopped raining. And I continued on cutting. So you can't just pack it up and go home all the time. See, because when you get wet, if you stop and get all down in spirit and everything, you are ready. But if you just continually press on, you can finish the gig. Just press on. But it ain't easy. But then when you do all that, why are you doing that? So you can walk in the church and do just like Abigail did. This is a faith though. David had asked for a little, but she felt it good to give more than she had received. God had abundantly blessed her, and she was giving more. So when I'm out there working and doing, if I could just get this and then just go and give it to God. If I can pay my tithes and offer, if I can just present this to God, and God's going to keep on. That's your source. God is your source. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. That's what David said.
Yes. He said, you'll lend and not borrow. I'll make you the head, not the tail.
So I keep on looking up, and you're talking about that young fella, but this young fella want to be like that old fella. Yeah. I want to be able to sit up there and straight up, you know, because some people, like I say, God can keep you. Some people that ain't that age, 78. How about that? How would you like if I never seen the righteous begging for bread? Like that at 7-8, staying up here preaching to y'all, looking and doing this, I'm good. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See, and that's what I was telling my brother the other day. You just have to walk every day for God. You just have to keep, because 85 is coming and 90 is coming. I was looking on the news the other day, 100 and something. But then whatever God brings, he brings. If you're serving God, and that's the way she was. Now, David, I told you she just saved David from this damage. And by faith, she had bowed to David as because she seen or did obeisance to him as king. And through her eyes that she seen that David was going to become king and who David was. Sometimes we have to do unto others as we would do unto the Lord, because God says, what you do to these, the least of these, you've done it to me. Yes. So you're not always helping people for reward. So that's why you can do, like you say, do good to all men. You don't know who you're helping or whatever. You're not looking for something or return from everything you do. That's just who you are. You're a son of the king, and God's blessing you with strength and health to be able to do good. That's why I say, if I'm still in condition, when I get 75 or 80 to help somebody or do something for somebody, it's got people at the hospital, a lot of those volunteers are checking people in and doing things and volunteering for nothing. Yeah, but if God give me my strength and have to be able to do that, I'll do it for nothing, because I just want to show people and glorify God that he can keep me. That's my source. That's where it flows from. That's what faith does. So as you're working, you showing your faith by your works, for what your actions, what you're doing. I'm bagging out there this morning. I'm seeing my brother coming. Man, thank God. See, I see you there. It's okay. See, because God always has an Aaron coming to meet Moses. Yes. Moses said he couldn't do it, but he said, look, there Aaron is. He can talk. Mm-hmm. And that's why I told him I appreciate the prayer he prayed this morning. See, because we strengthen one another through faith. Just a word here. Like you said, sometimes just a smile. Just him stopping by every once in a while saying, how is it going, brother? He see me sometime, he said, how is it going at the church? That's encouraging, you know. Yeah. So it's not a smile that is this. Like he says, it's just a smile. It's just something to help encourage you on the way. Yeah. Or would you rather go by someone, somebody look at frowning and what's wrong with you? What's going on, you know? And that's why, you know, I was looking out the door. I was looking for Sister Harris this morning because she normally meets me here. And Deacon said, what's wrong? What's the problem? I said, oh, hold on now. The thing is, we shouldn't all think about problems. Problems shouldn't exist. In other words, that's why Job fell in the shape he was, because hey, that what he feared has come upon him. Stop thinking about bad things and trouble. Because you don't have it, you dead to sin, you dead to bad things and trouble. That's why he's sending the trials and tribulations, because he wants to bring you through. He wants you to be overcome. That's why he say you glory in trial and tribulation. So things coming toward me, things always coming. I was with my wife last night. Do I have time for this one? No, I don't. But I was with my wife last night. My daughter called. It was about 9 or 10 o'clock. I was visiting my wife. She said, well, we need to go at 11 o'clock. We need to get there for 11 to get the stuff. I worked the other day. And I said, oh, my goodness, I got church in the morning. We went up to Southern to get the things from the stuff from Southern. And knowing some of us, we couldn't end on time. It's 12, around 12 before they finish. So it was 1:30.
quarter to two before we finished. By the time I got home and took my shower and everything, it was 2:30. Mm-hmm. Who knows that once you're tired and worn out, that you can't, that's a myth about falling asleep. You can't just lay down and fall asleep. Sometime you might have to have a nice cup of hot tea or whatever and let your body get in a relaxed mode. Yes. So it was about 3:00 before I fell asleep. When the alarm went off, because like I said, I have that emergency alarm set. But when it went off at 6, I said, Lord, help me. I didn't overslept. I said, Lord, give me strength to preach and teach and to organize this. See, God wants to get you to that point where you completely trusting and relying on you. And that's what Abigail, she had faith. She wasn't relying on herself. What would have happened if her husband would have caught her giving all that food away, doing all that after he told her, and she knew he had cursed David out? What he'd have did to her. You know, we have so much domestic violence these days and abuse of these women. And that David talking about taking vengeance, judgment is in the hands of God. So by walking by faith, this is my last point, God's judgment. We do what the Lord tells us to do when we let the results be under God. Let the chips fall where they may. But I've done what the Lord told me to do. David, through this woman of faith, was withheld from serious evil. Like I said, he was wrong. Verse 20 to 22. As she was riding her donkey into the mountain, David said that he was going to, he says, but he has repaid me evil for good. May God strike me and kill me if one man of his household is still alive. But see, Abigail knew that vengeance was God. Never repay evil with evil. God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. So she knew the scriptures. She knew God. God had planted that. Just like he told us, the circumcision is of the heart. In other words, he's going to write his laws on our heart to where we know to do right in what's wrong. Amen. So this was wrote on our heart. It's not right, eye for eye, to go and kill these people and do these things. You know what's right, and if you don't know what's right, you didn't sear your conscience. You're not in contact with God. God's not talking to you. If you can treat these people any kind of way and do any kind of thing and just lay down and sleep or just act like it never happened. As he says, the love of God is not in you, and it is wax cold and you're insensitive. If you don't care about your family, don't care about anything else. You should care that we're not having to get together. Well, you should care that the family is not the way it is. You should care about children talking back and not honoring their parents. You should be moaning and sighing, as he said, about what's going on in the earth. And that's the ones he said he had sealed, that they saying, what is happening to this world? It's not the way it should be. That's when God's going to protect. You're not walking around here, well, that's the way it is. That's just the new thing. No, it's not. That's not God's world. You're looking through it at another lens. See, she was looking through the lens of faith. Her husband was looking at it in the physical way, that I'm going to take care of myself and what's mine is mine. No, that's why I give God his first, because he gave it to me not to hoard, not to sit on, but to be a channel that it flow through. Amen. He give you the strength and health as a channel for it to flow through. Yes. Now, what happens? Let's listen at this as we draw down. She saved him. So we were talking. We see her repentant attitude, and that's one thing that saves us. We die dead. Yes. She absorbed the blame. She said, I'm the blame. I didn't see you. Fault me for it. Mm. See, we absorb the blame. See, that's a necessary thing that we see, that repentance is a part of faith. You can't have faith without repentance. Mm. Because repentance is turning from yourself. Most churches don't. If you listen at the churches on the television and things, you're not hearing repentance preached. So it's not a complete gospel, because Peter says you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. In other words, you have to turn from your ways and turn from yourself, because you've been wrong. Your thinking and your thoughts are not like God's thoughts and his ways, and he needs to have a new mind shaped and formed in you to where you're thinking like the children of God. You have to divorce this world. See, Paul says there's another member working within my member trying to bring me into the captivity of this body. I thank God through Christ Jesus. He's trying to deliver me, but the flesh is fighting here. I'm married to somebody I don't want to be married to. I'm trying to be a servant of Jesus Christ. So as you try to serve Jesus Christ and God, the world's going to pull harder on you. It's going to send trials and tribulations into your life. It's going to send things where you have to step out on faith. And if you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. But you can't be idle in this. You can't just not do anything. And listen how God deals with his enemy. Listen, that's why I said it was timing in her discretion. Verse 36 to 38. When Abigail arrived home, she found Nabal was throwing a big party and was celebrating like a king. He was very drunk, and she didn't tell him anything about her meeting with David until the next day. She had sense. You don't talk to a drunk man. Forget about these ministries talking about they have a barroom ministry where you just want to be in there with a drink in it or something. You can't talk to a man when he's drunk. She didn't try to talk to Nabal while he was drunk or talk to him while he was under the influence of the alcohol. But the next morning when she woke up, so you see she wasn't dealing treacherously. He was woken in his right mind when she told him. She told him what she did. So she wasn't hiding from him, but she was just presenting that the time God told her to do it. And look what happened. In the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife told him what had happened. As a result, he had a stroke. He was paralyzed. In other words, the King James says he turned to a stone. About 10 days later, he died. God had took the vengeance that David wanted to take. You see what happens? She told him that, and he took a stroke. That's how much hatred and vitriol he had in him, that he took a stroke and died. That's what the 36-38 says. He turned to stone, and then 10 days later, he died. Watch how you live. In conclusion, faith was rewarded, our reward sometime in this life. And I think that's why this story was put here. It wasn't about David and Nabal so much, but it was about Abigail. You remember Abigail says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day." So David received her at his hands, and when Nabal died, he sent for her, and she became David's wife. She became David's wife. Yes. It says, and David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thine advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hands. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there hath nothing been left of Nabal by the morning light, or any that pisseth against a wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said, "Go in peace, you've saved your household." Verse 41 through 42, later David sent men to her, and she bowed low to the ground and responded, "I, your servant, would be happy to marry David. I would even be willing to be a slave washing the feet of his servants." Quickly getting ready, she took along five of her servant girls as attendants, mounted her donkey and went and was David's wife, and she became David's wife. So we see, like I said, it was a soap opera-like ending for Abigail. She was in the prize in the eyes of a lot of people. She received peace of mind or whatever. She married another scoundrel. You remember, like I said, none of us are perfect. David wasn't perfect. You leave one man, you leave one woman or one man, you get one and they flawed too. A lot of people leave this church to go to another church and the grass just as brown over there as it was where you left. People think it's green on the other side. But, you know, so it says, because David was a womanizer, we know. Listen at this. It says, David also married a him. That's the very next verse. Along with this wedding, he married another woman, Ahinahel from Jeriah, making both of them his wives. Saul, meanwhile, had given his daughter Michal, David's other wife, to another man. So David was marrying a lot of wives. He was breaking, he said, the king shouldn't multiply wives to himself, right?
See, but he was a type of Christ, the reason they put that in there. Because all of us would be married to Christ. We'll be brides of Christ, but it was a be against the law for her to marry David if Nabal was still alive. See, so until we die to the world, we can't be married to Christ. That's why the death has to occur. That's why I read this other thing to us in the book of Romans. The Romans, the 7th chapter, 1 through the 3rd verse, it says, "Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction to rule over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman, as example, is bound and remains bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if a husband dies, she is released and exempt from the law concerning her husband. Accordingly, she will be designated as an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband is alive. But if the husband dies, she is free of the law regarding marriage, that she is not an adulteress. She may marry another." So after Nabal died, you remember she said, "Remember me when you become king?" David sent and he got her, he remembered her and married her. But it tells us no more about Abigail because, like I said, it really, the point was about Abigail and her being a virtuous and a faithful woman. David was still David. He had flaws and faults. And just because I said scoundrel, don't just look at it that way because David was a man after God's own heart. I'm just showing you the Bible never holds up any man that we should worship man. We should worship Jesus Christ. He's the example. All of us have faults and flaws. No matter how good I think this man is, if I dig deep enough, I'll find something that may discourage me. So that's why we have to overlook these things in one another and see all ourselves as sinners, but we would be servants or handmaids in the whole house of the Lord, that I'm a bondservant just like Paul said of Jesus Christ. Just to be saved and in heaven and with Jesus Christ, I'll do anything. Just to serve him, as long as I'm not under the law of this world. That's why we die to this world. We'll be married to Christ. We'll be free to marry. But we can't serve two masters. We can't serve the world and serve God. So we see that she followed the law. She didn't deal treacherously with Nabal or whatever. God took care and moved Nabal. God moves your problems out of the way. Don't kill. Don't break God's commandments. Don't do anything against his law. But let God work in your life. Wait upon God. Those that wait upon God shall renew their strength, but walk by faith. Amen. That's what faith is. It's trusting and believing in God and be content with such that you have. So she was content with Nabal, but by the eyes of faith, she saw and realized good things coming to her. And good things will come to you in this life if you walk in by faith. Yes. Good things will come to you, but those that don't come, those that some died waiting on the promises, because we don't know what God going to do in this world and in this life, but we know that he's good for his word. Amen. It's all about God's word. Yes. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, walking in your word and your way, Lord,